Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 13 years, we've been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you just need some tips, advice, or resource information on how to elevate your career status. We've got the tips for you over here. Now, some of the guests on our show include Emmy Award winners, we have Grammy Award winners, we have Tony Award winners, we have reality TV stars, and just a wide variety of working show business professionals. And I'm telling you, it never ends when I say working show business professionals. I get emails and texts from people saying, does that mean you have prostitutes on your show or people from the porn industry? No. No, it does not. I'm going to have to completely reword that. I don't know what I'm going to substitute because that's the perfect line that I created, working show business professionals. But no, it's not porn, people, you sickos. No, I don't have that. Oh, not that there's anything wrong with that industry. It is a thriving multi-billion dollar industry. There you go. I got that disclaimer in there. But these show business professionals include film, television, music, radio producers, directors. We have casting directors. We have literary agents. We have casting agents, PR agents, talent managers, screenwriters, publicists. We've got actors and comedians and singers and novelists and, let's see, script supervisors, stunt people. And every year we have an entertainment attorney. And this is so very important, especially if you're just starting out in the entertainment industry. You think, what the hell do I need an entertainment attorney? Well, that's something to aspire to because, believe it or not, even starting out, you really should have one on retainer. Now, I know people are like, oh my God, I can't afford to have an attorney on retainer. Well, you know, there's LegalZoom. There's lots of other ways that you can Google information. But having an entertainment attorney on, I really get great advice for them, for people starting from them, about people starting out in the entertainment industry. And believe me, if you can afford to have an entertainment attorney, you know you've made it. You've come up in your station of life. Now, if you missed any of our shows, here are the three ways that you can listen to any of our past shows. Number one, free mobile app. So download LA Talk Radio from the App Store, Google Play Store. We are also on iHeartRadio. We're on iTunes. We're on Amazon Podcasts. We're on Google. We're on Audible.com, Stitcher.com. I could go on and on and on. Just Google us and you'll find us on a bunch of venues, a site. Archive page, of course. You can listen directly from this website, latalkradio.com, the one you're listening to us right now. Look for the show title, which is Question Reality, or you can look for my name, Priscilla Leona. And we kindly ask a favor. We're asking the favor. I've never asked the favor before, but we're going to ask it now. We kindly ask that you please subscribe to our podcast and give us little thumbs and fingers. You know, these days, a thumb and a finger is something you want. And you can say it without shame. Give me a finger. Give me a thumb. We all can say it, and it means something that's not, you know, I could talk about that for an hour. We're not going to. All right. Finally, if you want to be booked on our show or refer someone to be a guest to promote themselves, to showcase their projects or their products, or just help listeners by providing sage career advice, just go to our official website. Now you got to tune in and listen and focus and focus and focus. Ready? You have to go to questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com, not the website that you're listening to us on now, which is obviously latalkradio.com. This is the website where we air the show. Again, go to questionrealityradioshow.com. And what's great about that is you can see our annual guest schedule. So you might want to go there and take a peek at who the upcoming guests are and check out their sites. And the way it's just very, very simple. It's the name of the guest, what their title is, their profession. So if, for example, if you want to be a script supervisor, you go, you see Jane Smith, script supervisor. So you go, oh, I want to tune in to that show because I want to know what it takes to become a script supervisor, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the way we have it set up. So again, to submit to be booked on our show, click the contact link on the Question Reality Radio Show website. And we just need your name, your email, title, and a website. That is it. So fantastic. I think we finally finished with that. Well, let me tell you, I was so excited when my friend Aaron contacted me, Aaron Stahl, the one and only. He contacted me because he's working on a new project. One of many. He is a man of many, many hats and shoes. He is working on a project called Madison on the Air. And while I'm talking, you can go there now and check it out. It's madisonontheair.com, and we are going to have the creator, her name is Chrissy Talon Sage, and she is an actor, a director, and a producer, and of course, Aaron Stahl is an actor and a voice actor, and they're here to discuss Madison on the Air, which is a scripted comedy podcast. And just briefly, what it's about, it's about a woman named Madison who is zapped from our time period into old time radio dramas. I'm telling you, when I read this synopsis and premise of the show, I said, oh my God, this is for me. I love it. How cool is this? I mean, there's nothing else like this right now on television or on any other podcast. I searched, I Googled it, I couldn't find anything. So again, she's zapped from our time period into old time radio dramas where obviously there's no technology, no Starbucks. I would die. I don't even know how one can live without a Starbucks these days. And no one is PC. Now, I am all about that. I am loving that. Every day I say to my husband, why is everyone so offended by every little word? Oh, why can't it be like it used to be? And Albert just rolls his eyes at me. He said, oh, I don't know what's going on with you. But anyway, Madison is the character who teams up with radio icons like Sergeant Joe Friday. And Gen Z, you don't know who the hell that is. Well, look it up. I don't know how you could not know Sergeant Joe Friday. Marshall Matt Dillon, coolest of cool. I think they put a sock down there, though. I watch those old shows. I'm like, he has a sock prop. I'm telling you, that is not a natural point. Superman and more. She has them all on the show. So the original radio scripts have been adapted to give a really funny look at the way things were and the way things are today. So you go, oh my gosh, will she survive? Is she going to run into all kinds of chaos and drama? You know, women, they would just backhand your ass if you just give them the side eye. So we don't know what's going to happen. You got to tune in to find out. So she has new episodes that premiere on the first of every month. And you want to go to madisonontheair.com. You can also go to Madison on the Air on YouTube. Oh, see, this just, I'm going to just segue right into my tip because this lady has done it right. My career advice for today was that this isn't, okay, here, keep your branding consistent, like Chrissy has, okay? Keep your branding consistent, meaning try to have all of your website and all of your social media titles exactly the same so that when people Google you, they can find you within seconds. Remember, when you're an actor, a director, producer, writer, dancer, musician, you're an entrepreneur and you have to think of operating all of the departments that a company would do, such as PR, marketing, social media, content building, etc. So you really have to think logically and analytically about how you need to represent yourself and your products. And all of your content has to be available for immediate visual and auditory accessibility. Nobody, and you know, think about yourself. Do you want to spend an hour trying to track down all of your sites? No, you can't be named Debbie Malone and have a site, oh, Debbie Does Denver or Debbie, you know, Debbie's Dot. You can't have all those different names because people go on Google and they type what they know and they don't want to, if they have to spend, and this is based on research, if people have to spend more than 10 seconds they to do a deep dive on Google for your website or to find you, well, Sister Christian, you just lost a sale, a fan, and a follower. I'm just telling you right now. So don't do it. Like Chrissy has done. She has everything. If you go on Facebook, Madison on the Air. Instagram, Madison on the Air. YouTube, Madison on the Air. Girlfriend's got it locked down. This woman knows her business and she knows how to promote. And hopefully we can get some really good career advice from her. So without further ado, we are going to meet these two little hotties of this hot show, Madison on the Air. Welcome, Chrissy and Erin.
Hi, great to be here.
Yeah. Wow. I know that was a little long-winded, but that's what I do.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Oh, my God. Every week for 13 years, I've been doing this. It's like I never get tired of it because every guest is exciting and there's always something new to talk about. And if it's one thing I love, it's meeting new people and talking about new things, especially when projects are exciting. Like the one that you have, Miss Chrissy. Now, the way I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to Chrissy first, then we're going to talk to Erin. But Erin, if you feel like you want to, you know, contribute, you feel free.
Thank you.
Chrissy, yeah. That's what you're here for. For those who don't know Chrissy, can you please just briefly give us your entertainment career highlights?
The highlights. Well, I have a degree in theater performance, but I've also been doing improv for 20 something years. And I like to say I've had every assistant job that Hollywood has to offer. So I've been working here in the industry since the late 90s. And it's interesting what you're talking about with like branding and things. It's like I even have a background. I have some marketing background. I have what's been said as an eclectic resume.
See, that's why you knew that you have the skill set that would be able to obviously set you up for success. But you'd be surprised, Chrissy. I'm telling you, God bless my guests who come on here every week. But I tell you, most of them don't know how to be consistent with their branding. So I said, I've got to just start repeating it every week. I'm going to repeat it. And I don't know, but can you tell people how important this is? Maybe anything different than what I said?
Well, I think it's exactly what you said as far as you want to pick a look that is consistent. Even any of my images that I use, it's all in the same fonts, the same colors. I've gone with a silhouette style. So even when it's a new episode and it's a different show, it's still with that same look. So it's very identifiable when people will see it on social media or like YouTube or something like that. But it's also, I think it's about, like you were saying, of being able to find it quickly. I think one of the big things in the podcast world that is a big hindrance that is people who pick a name of their show that is too general. It's too basic. And you want something that really says you and isn't going to be one of 20 different podcasts that are called Film Review Today or things like that.
No, that's perfect what you said. That's a very good point. I didn't even think of that. Yes, because there's so, it's true. You go and Google a generic name and that's what you're going to get, 15, 20 people. Even, you know, when you go on IMDb, if you have a name like John Smith, you're going to get 50,000. So it's like, which one is it? Then you got to think, oh, you know, is this the credit? Is that the credit? It's very frustrating. So I love that you pointed out, one, you chose a graphic, and that's also timeless too, because say for example, if she's the star of the show, if you're the star of the show and you put your face, right? Well, if you're lucky and your podcast or your show goes 5 years, 10 years, well, you can't be using that old headshot from 1974. You know what I mean? Which a lot of actors do. I'm not going to say anything about that, but you know, that's a perfect idea to just use a great graphic. And I love how you chose the pink background and the black pop colors. Very important.
Well, and what's more is being in this audio drama world, I've been trained with voice actors, professional voice actors, and the point is not to show your face.
Right.
When you're talking about a podcast, that's your own personality, that's you. But if you're talking about an audio drama where you're embodying characters, if you'll go to my website, I don't have photos of any of my actors. It's not like they're not beautiful people. Aaron is gorgeous. We all know that.
Oh, but stop it.
Stop.
Okay, but keep going.
I don't want people to associate that person's face and have a preconceived notion of what they should sound like. You know, Hollywood casting, being on camera, is very pigeonholed with look. But the freedom of anything that is a voice actor, whether it is in animation or just a voiceover kind of character or anything in the audio drama, you want to have a versatility and don't want to be held back by what people immediately think of when they see your face.
Absolutely. And graphics are recognizable. So, you know, it's going to transcend time and space. Now, Chrissy, I understand that you're the creator, producer, director of the podcast. Are you also, I would imagine you are, but I have to ask, are you also the main character, Madison, as well?
Yes. Pretty much this whole thing is me. I'm writer. I'm the writer as well. You know, Madison, going back to my improv, she's a character I've been doing for a long time in a lot of different incarnations. So she was very easy for me to embody. So when I'm writing her, her voice is in my head already. And the dialogue is able to just come out naturally because I've lived her for so many years.
And who is Madison? Who is she?
That's an interesting question, because I think the comedy style can be a little more on the Gen X side. That's my generation. But she also has a very like millennial, younger 20-something side to her too. So I think she's a kind of whatever she needs to be in the moment. But if you're looking at her as far as how she's presented in the show, she's in her late 20s as she is a makeup blogger who accidentally got zapped into these old time radio shows. So she is dedicated to makeup and artistry. She loves her mocha lattes, and that's why she's terribly disappointed that there are no Starbucks. She's starting to jones for those mocha lattes terribly. And she also, you know, she has some sides to her where you get a little glimpse and do, maybe she doesn't date the best guys and puts herself into some interesting relationships with a lot of losers. She's not particularly kind to her siblings. And no, she's really not held a good job.
Was that pre being zapped, or is that when after she zapped? Because who is she? Who is her family, or where does she go once she zapped? You know, I'm trying to comment this from the perspective of people listening. They're trying to think, well, what do you mean? Was that who she was before she was zapped? And after she zapped, does she go back in time? And are these the relationships she's having? Was her whole family zapped? So without spilling too many beans, what can you tell us about that?
Well, I would say the most fun part of Madison on the Air is that I don't explain that stuff. We have a great theme song my husband Jeremy wrote, which will get stuck in your head, definitely an earworm. And it's all basically, it's kind of like MST3K for anyone out there who remembers that show, where just don't ask any questions. Just accept that this is the reality of where she is. We can't really explain science-wise how she got here. I don't know how she jumps from one to the other. Is it quantum leap? I don't know. And there's a little bit of things start to get revealed kind of as it goes along. She often asks, like, what are the rules here? Can I be killed by one of these bad guys with guns? Who knows? So it's kind of left up in the air. That's not what we're focused on.
I got it. Now, how did you come up with the idea and title for the show? Two-part question, I think. How did you come up with the idea and title for the show? And then who is the ideal audience for this show?
Well, I am a huge fan of old-time radio. I started listening to it. CBS Radio used to actually play some of the old dramas in the evenings going back about 20 years now. And I got hooked. And I found a lot of different resources online. So I have literally listened to a different radio show every single night. I use it to fall asleep by. That's how I relax to lots of noir and murder mysteries. And I've fallen in love with this era. I think it's a lot of fun. I think these are like windows into the past, not only in their attitudes, which aren't PC, of how they treat women, especially, certainly minorities. It's definitely a very stylized period. And, you know, it was right before television. So it's often referred to as the theater of the mind, which I really love. I know there are a lot of audio drama podcasts out there that prefer more of a narrative style, which is more like a book on tape kind of thing, where someone does a lot of reading of long paragraph of narration. But I like the old time radio where there's action with sound effects and the different characters. And yeah, maybe somebody has to say, oh my gosh, he has a gun. So we know that there is a physical gun in the guy's hand.
Right.
But if you do it organically, the way they did it, the way they perfected it back then, I think it's still very entertaining and you don't bump on those things. So like I was saying with Madison, I had been working with her for many years and I just kind of thought it would be funny. Like, what if somebody was in there? Again, I referenced MST3K commenting on what is going on. And kind of calling them out on some of the things that are a little out of date now. And she can definitely call them out on things, but she gets put in her place too. Because there is, like you had also mentioned, like there people get sensitive about maybe a particular word, even though it's just a word. And how is that word bothering you so much? So there's the like both ends of the spectrum, the way they handled it back in the 30s through the 50s, and maybe how we're handling it now. Like, where is the happy medium? Let's admit that not everything's perfect. Neither side is perfect.
Oh my God. And who, if you were to say my perfect ideal audience is, or my target audience for this show, who would they be? Obviously anyone who loves old time radio, but who else would love this show?
I think, there's definitely a lot of pop culture Gen X references. So I think my peeps would appreciate a lot of that. But it's also, I've been approached by a lot of people who say it's a really great gateway into old time radio for younger people who maybe would be put off by how old the style is, or a lot of the recordings from the past are very hard to listen to because they just haven't survived audibly very well. So this is, you know, a fresh, clean show to listen to. But I think I want to believe we have a wide range of different audience. But it's comic. It's like if you like a good old fashioned sitcom, that is my training. I've spent years training in just sitcom, like multicam writing. So it very much has that feel to it. I've been told it has a little of a Deadpool feel without the obscenity side of it. I keep it TV clean. She's very mild with her language, but it's that kind of pop culture references.
Got it. Now, obviously, a podcast is the perfect venue, I feel, for this show. But at the inception, were you ever trying to make a decision of whether this should be a web series or based on the content you felt, no, it absolutely has to be a podcast? Because I have the ability to see things in many different ways to be done. You, one sentence, I can come up with five ways. So I could see this done as a web series or a film or anything with a visual medium, because it could, I feel that it could be done both ways. What made you decide to do a podcast?
Well, definitely because the original dramas, the radio OTR, yeah, right, is all audio. Right. But also I've done a web series. I've done a web series. It won a few awards, got me into grad school for film. So that was great. But you need a pretty darn good budget these days.
Yeah.
To put one together. Back then they were accepting of, because I premiered my web series on MySpace. YouTube didn't exist yet. That's how far back I go.
Wow.
And so people were forgiving of maybe the audio quality, maybe the lighting, the camera work. I evolved and realized that the websites were a really great platform. It became taken over. And there were places that I was winning contests that I then couldn't even enter anymore because I wasn't high enough quality. And this is the beauty of podcasting. It is an open venue for anyone who has any idea. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really cost that much, depending on what you're doing. You know, we certainly have a variety of mic qualities that come in from our different actors, depending on who has got a good mic set up at home and who doesn't. But that was actually one of the reasons we started. It was COVID, because yeah. I was in the middle of producing a play. I was part of a group. We were about to go up at the end of March, and we were shut down for forever. So it was kind of like, well, how can I still be creative when I'm trapped at home? Because even though we premiered the show in February, I started writing it last October. So it's almost been a year since the idea got started. And it was purely, yeah, COVID.
Is that when you, so February of this year was your very first episode of Madison?
Right. I did a lot of research going in to the release. And one of the things that they recommend very much steadily across lots of different places is to have multiple episodes premiere at the same time. So you don't just look like a fly by night. Absolutely. Get people excited about you, but then will they ever hear episode two? Are you going to like fizzle out?
Yes.
So
great idea.
We premiered four. They're all about 30-ish minutes. So we premiered four episodes at once, and I still had a fifth one in the can ready to go for a month later. And we've then kind of clicked into our production schedule from there.
See, that's a great tip from Chrissy. Have at least, you know, 6 months worth. It's just like another tip. When you move out to LA or you move to New York, please don't come here with your piggy bank underneath your armpit. You need to have at least, personally speaking, you need to have at least a year, enough to pay your rent, to have a car, gas, electric. You have to have it, or you don't know if you're going to get a job right away. You don't know what's going to happen. So please don't come here. There's been so many people who have moved to New York and Chicago and LA, and they've come here with a couple $100s, and they had to leave in maybe 2 months, 3 months, because they didn't properly financially prepare. Well, it's the same concept. Make sure that you have enough content, enough finances for anything in life, anything. Don't think you're going to come here, walk into a casting office, you're going to be discovered. Not that that hasn't happened, but just have plan B and plan C. My philosophy in life is have plan A, plan B, and plan C. So
well,
there you go.
If I can add to that, yeah, is also plan on the longevity of it. You know, I came out here in the late 90s, and I have worked in lots of different areas of the industry, but I consider myself still kind of a bottom tier person trying to still kind of find my niche and find my way to a higher level of success. And if you come out here because it sounds exciting to be in Los Angeles and it's like, you know, just an adventure, great. But if you really want to have success here, you have to have stick-to-itiveness and be willing to give up a lot of things, material things especially, hang in there.
Yeah, like my grandmother said, you got to listen carefully to understand this. Most people I say this to, they don't understand what I mean. And I didn't either when my grandmother told me this, but now I get it. If you fail to plan, then plan to fail. Now you think about that for a second. That means if you're not planning, you're going to fail. So you have to understand that. So plan, plan, plan. But you know, Chrissy, what I find a lot, is that artistic people, it is so wonderful if everyone could have that equal balance between having a business acumen, even if you don't go to college, to just have it. Because there are people who don't even go to, there are people who have gone to the third grade and they become multimillionaires. It's just they have an innate ability to know business. So what I'm saying is that if you are lucky to be able to do both, then I think you have a far greater chance of success with anything. But a lot of people I have found, they like to consider themselves artists, which is great, and they don't want to deal with anything related to business. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do it. And I find that so, so much. But in this day and age, as you know, having a digital social media footprint is absolutely vital in promoting and maintaining and in advancing your career in any field, even if it's, selling hot dogs, it doesn't matter. So what do you feel aspiring actors or filmmakers, at the very least, the people who hate dealing with business and don't like to do anything to promote themselves on social media, what can they do to target their audience and promote themselves? Because you can't just sit in the garage and play your instrument, so to speak. You have to promote it.
I would definitely, going back to the branding of my show, I think people, as an actor, musician, artist, you need to brand yourself as a performer. And you have to have a consistency. You know, you might feel like I can do any role that is ever given to me. I could do Shakespeare and I can do a slapstick comedy. Well, that's great. But when you want an agent to represent you, they are going to pigeonhole you at the beginning. And they want to know, how are they going to market you? So you need to decide. And that has, sometimes you have to just look at yourself, look at your strengths. I always look at it as, what are you going to hit out of the park? Can I do a dramatic scene in an audition? Absolutely. But if you give me a comedy, I'm going to hit it out of the park. So I need to gear myself, I know this of myself, to comedy, because that is my strength. So I think it is about narrowing your direction. Once you get some success and you're getting cast, you're getting relationships with casting, then you can start talking about, okay, now I want to, you know, expand. I want to try some different things. But in the very beginning, you need to decide who you are, what you're the best at, and brand yourself. That's your headshots should look that way. The font on your resume should look that way. You should be in and out, inside and out, that brand.
Absolutely. And believe it or not, I don't know how, but people don't even think of these things. It's just natural to us, Chrissy, that this is what you should do, but I cannot believe it. A lot of people don't do it. And most of the time it doesn't work out for them, but son of a bitch, if sometimes they don't do a damn thing and they end up becoming like a star. So who the hell knows? what are you going to do? Now, Chrissy, for those who haven't heard the show yet, let's intrigue them to tune in by finding out some things such as, do you have the same characters on your show every month? What about how do you come up with each of your original stories? You know, like watching old TV shows, as you said, or listening to them. And lastly, do you hire actors who can do impersonations of the original actors? Are we going to hear that? Or do they do their own voices, but with a character name?
Well, every episode is a different old-time radio show, and I am trying to have a wide variety. You know, we've got a lot of the detective noir. I tend to stick to dramas because it's easier to do her comedy within where she is the comic relief and everyone else is playing it like a drama. So this is not a spoof. We are not making fun of it. And I know Aaron could speak to this too about the taking the real characters and performing them authentically. Mm. But everyone is going to be different. Madison is the only character that carries through. But I don't do impersonations at all. I don't want them. I don't want it to be we're trying to be our Joe Friday or our The Shadow. It needs to be genuine to the actor playing it. And I believe if they play it true, it doesn't matter if their voice doesn't sound like the original one.
Got it. And what is your overall hope or goal for the podcast? To be picked up by a cable station or TV network? What's your goal?
I would love to be able to do this full time and be able to do more than one a month and have maybe a team of people who could do my marketing instead of me. But those are the dreams I have. When you've talked about a visual medium for this, the one thing that comes to mind to me that I think would work would be animation, like along the lines of, say, Harley Quinn style, like, or an Archer style, an adult kind of image. But I would not want to see this actually. I don't think you really could make this a TV show with live actors.
Mm. Got it. Now, I know that you are also, along with the millions of things you have on your plate with this show, you are a passionate animal lover as well. And I think you either work for a company or you created the company called For the Love of Rescues. Can you please tell us about this organization?
I've been a dog trainer for 20 years, one of those side jobs us actors get, right? And I love it. And I, about 17 years ago, I'd been working a lot with rescue dogs and realized that the calendars they were saying, wall calendars that they would sell in the stores, were always these perfect purebreds of every breed. And they didn't represent the dogs I saw in my classes or out at the park. They weren't these mixed breeds. They weren't a dog with one eye or an old dog. So I started this calendar. It's a calendar project where it's featuring rescue dogs to benefit rescue dogs. And I have been doing it every year for 17 years now, where they can go to my website, fortheloveofrescues.com. And that's also on Facebook as well, where you buy a calendar. And 100% of the proceeds will go to the participating rescue group of your choice. There's a drop-down menu. You could search by state to see if there's maybe one that's in your part of the world. And that money will all go to them. And I've raised thousands of dollars over these years. And this is my first year I've added cats, too. So we're very exciting.
Cats.
But yes. But as a dog obedience trainer, I include dog training tips every month. I have fun furry facts about dogs and cats, and then the back three pages of the calendar, because then we feature about 150 animals in it. It's not just one a month. It's a collage. And I do the happy ending stories because it's all about animals who have they're rescued and they're in good homes now because of these rescue groups.
Well, that is such a noble cause. Now, is the core company, is it PETA or SPCA or is
the, it's all me, my project, and then any group can join for free. I most of the rescue groups I work with are smaller than like an SPCA because they're like a mom and daughter who decided they wanted to save animals in their town in Tennessee. So they just started pulling animals out of shelters and trying to find homes, and they need help with fundraising, but they're so busy saving the animals and caring for them that they don't have time to raise money. So I'm a tool for them.
Okay. I was trying because on TikTok, I don't know if you have TikTok, but there you can choose a charity to be posted on your TikTok page. And I thought, oh, I'd love to put For the Love of Rescues, but I went in the drop down menu and I didn't see it. So is that something you're going to be adding your charity or what you do to the TikTok, or no, that was just a personal question.
I am not familiar with TikTok very much. So I can ask him about that.
Yeah, check on that. Check on that, because that's really great when you're on TikTok. With TikTok, it obviously everyone knows TikTok, but what's great is that you can put one little charity underneath your name on your front page that you choose to represent or promote. And so if someone clicks on it, they can just go there and they can donate. So check that out. All right, let's move on to thank you, Miss Chrissy. I love your name. I mean, you sound like a pinup baby.
And that's why you'll never see a picture of me.
Chrissy Talon Sage is the greatest name in the world. If I ever get a boat, I'm going to name it Chrissy Talon Sage. That's like
dang. High praise.
Yes. Now, Aaron, you obviously have known Miss Chrissy here for a while. First of all, how did you meet Chrissy? How did you end up on the show? Did you have to audition? And then I got lots of questions for you. I got so many. Go ahead. How did you meet Chrissy? How did you end up on the show?
Thanks. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Chrissy, I think we did a play together with written and directed by a wonderful man named Jack Zulo, who wrote a play called, what is it? It's a show about Jim Belushi. John Belushi's life. Yes, some highlights in his life. Live from the Grave, it's John Belushi. Yes? Belushi.
John is the one who died. Jim is the one who's still hanging
Jim's
in there.
Jim's the one. Thank you. Yes.
So did you have an audition or for this particular show, or did Chrissy just say, I know it's you?
It was somewhere between that and her pleading, begging me to be a part of it because she needed somebody. somewhere in there.
Who's the character on the show?
Say again. I am very happy to say that I get asked to play multiple characters throughout all of the shows. Not all the time, but definitely a new character each time, because each episode is from a different story entirely.
Oh, that's exciting. So that keeps your job very interesting. And you need to have you have to be constantly peaked and titillated, because my gosh, I've worked with Aaron Stahl on a couple projects. He's a fantastic actor. And he's probably had his hair long for a while, but when I met him, he looked like he was running a corporate charity. He was so clean cut and all bristled and whistled. And I was like, oh, there he goes. But he's been an actor for, I think he said, 15 years. And you are constantly involved in interesting projects. But what I didn't know about you, Mr. Aaron Stahl, was that you performed off Broadway. I didn't even know you lived in New York. Did you live there for a long time? Or?
So I did a theater competition I grew up in and around Philadelphia, and I did a competition with some friends who had written like a new musical. So I got to perform some of that musical for this competition at the Jerry Orbach Theater in New York on Broadway, but it's an off Broadway performance, I could say. So I've gone to New York for auditions from Philly. I would take either the Mega Bus or the Bolt Bus, like back when I was living there, for like $11 one way. It would take me 2.5 hours. I would get all the lines for auditions down. I'd do all that. I'd show up for 2 minutes, and then I'd, you know, have a great time just walking around, making the most of my time in New York, and then I would head on back on another Bolt Bus or something.
That's a serious dedication to a profession. Well, what do you think are, maybe one to three differences pursuing a career in New York as an actor in LA? What did you find?
So first I should say, I didn't give New York a full chance like I have here in Los Angeles. So there might be a little bit of a skew or a bias to what I would think. There are definitely others who would be able to tell better than I, more concretely. But I would think you'll have to, that first off, well, now I guess post-quarantine, life is generally different. So you don't have to rush to auditions in the different ways in which you would go about getting there, whether it's driving or taking public transit, which was a lot more convenient on the East Coast up there. But you were asking like the differences, right, between Los Angeles and New York in terms of being an actor? Right.
Yeah.
So I from the vibe that I've been getting from what other people are telling me, New York, there's a lot more theater to do. If you're looking for theater, go for it. There's a great community. You can always find something to do late at night or in the morning, whether it's performing stand up, performing some improv, performing. And that's on both sides. You can do both coasts. You can do, really whatever your heart desires.
I would think, New York is more, go there if you want to pursue a career as a theater actor first, and then you could always come to LA. You know what I was found exciting? I said, oh my God, what? I remember when I first saw you in your tuxedo when you were driving for Uber, and I thought, oh my God, that's the best and most clever idea I have ever seen for an Uber driver. Well, obviously I was right, because I understand that you were on Good Morning America, and you, I think it was because they had you on the show for being a rideshare driver in a tuxedo. I guess that's why, but how did that happen? How did they find out about you?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Thank you.
How did that happen?
So, I had a few tuxedos from doing catering as trying to survive LA as an actor job. And, I put them on to drive for Uber and Lyft, after maybe like a month of just driving in plain clothes. And I made an Instagram account for it called Dapper Driver. It's all one word with a Y instead of an I in driver. And it's on Instagram. And I would take selfies with my passengers. And I would kind of put on this air of whoever gets in is the best person in the world, and I want them to have a great time. And one of my passengers just so happened to be an executive producer of ABC News. And he just kind of fell in love with the idea. And we had a great time. We met up for coffee and just discussed life and things. And he's like, I've got a thing for the Oscars. We're going to be filming what all the celebrities might end up doing to get ready for them. So I want to take you and a reporter and have you both go and do those things. So we went and we got coffee. We went to a spa and got facials together. We went to a pizza place, a wine and pizza place that takes 30 days for the next reservation available. We just walked right in and we got pizza and had a great time. And so that's kind of how it came about. And it was an episode for the Oscars like 3 years ago, 3 years ago now. Yeah.
And that's branding right there. You totally nailed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Wow. Did you, what happened as a result? Did you, I guess, you know, did you get a bonus award, a plaque? You know, did you? What did
oh my gosh, I did get some kudos from the upper management. I get from Lyft and Uber, but nothing like any kind of plaque or anything. I did connect with thousands of passengers, and some of them have become friends of mine, and we've worked together in terms of creating content and acting and writing and producing and directing. I've just,
how can people, if they, how, you're still driving for Uber, I imagine, right?
Occasionally, or if people just ask me to just give them a ride as the Dapper driver, then I'll just,
yes,
you know,
that's
do that.
That's what I was getting to. How can someone have you as their driver for Uber? How would they get in touch with you to request you? Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, they could just send me a text, or they could find me on Instagram, or they can email me at dapperdriver there on at gmail.com, dapperdriver@gmail.com, or just on Instagram, or they could just text my number, which is still a Philadelphia area code, so it might yeah,
you might
so
I not
so.
Want to give that out on the air, but I
sure,
think
let's
I'm looking for it. I have so much stuff. It's Dapper, DAPPER, and is it GRY?
That's correct.
DRYVER,
and there's no space between the two words.
Dapper driver. So you're on Facebook, Instagram, everyone as that name, and they can text you and ask you if they, are you allowed to come and pick them up? And
yeah, I mean, of course. It's a little bit challenging to connect sometimes with the app, so. And as long as I'm a business, you know, I can, and do everything down, you know, through on the books, we can, arrange it outside of it too. So
now see, if you want someone safe, who's not going to try to hump your kneecap in as an Uber driver, Aaron, I promise he's safe. He is totally.
You are too sweet.
And who doesn't want to be picked up by a guy in a tuxedo and get their Uber ride? My God. So you contact Aaron real quick. And this is the last question. I got to wrap it up because I'm already 3 minutes over.
Oh, gosh.
Real quick. I want to have you on separately because we got so much to talk about with you. You have so many interesting things in your life, but I want to know about that damn cow. I heard that you recently hugged a blind cow.
This is correct. I did. I think, Chrissy, you might enjoy this too. It was a friend's birthday party. We got to rent out a farm of only rescue farm animals. I guess animals that would either be put down or were in social media who went viral for some reason because of neglect or abuse, or they escaped a slaughterhouse. And gave the cops a chase downtown for like 3 hours. So these animals have been given like their last chance, and they're at this barn in Santa Clarita called Gentle Barn. And there's all different types of different farm animals there, and they're just having the best life, probably better than you and I are probably having, where they just get pets and they get food and treats all the time.
Like they do in Japan for the Wagyu. I don't want to talk about it, but yeah, we don't get massage, Chrissy, every day, all day. We hung up by the rafters and massaged by 20 Japanese men. No, Chrissy and I want to be massaged. Yeah, so that sounds like a great life for a cow.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah. So that was that story, and I'm very very happy to have done it. So thanks for asking. It seems like a lovely barn. Yeah.
I love that. Well, you know, I want to thank both of you for coming on the show today. Everybody has to go check out this show, MadisonOnTheAir.com. And if you want to have Aaron Stahl as an Uber driver, go to @ Dapper Driver. It's DAPPERDRY D-R-I-V-E-R. Very cute play on driver there. And I tell you, I don't know what to say. You guys sound like, I can't wait. I have held off on listening to the podcast because I wanted to interview you first to get very excited, pumped up. But as soon as we get off this phone, I am listening to the very first one, which I think when I was checking it out is something photo investigation or the very first episode. I can't remember.
Well, we have the episodes of the shows and we start with Dragnet, but we also have bonus features called Madison's Mad Facts, where when I've been writing the episode, something will usually grab me that I'm like not aware of from that era. And I start to research it just for my own curiosity. And I decided to turn that into a bonus feature. Those are about 5-ish minutes long. They come out about 10 days after the episode. And they're kind of like a partner piece. So like right now, our latest episode was Casey, Crime Photographer, starring Mr. Aaron Stahl. And then the bonus feature is talking about photo manipulation throughout history.
Woo! All right, there you go. Every month on the first, Madison on the Air, and then the new Mad Facts premieres 10 days later. Go to madisonontheair.com and at Dapper Driver. Thank you, guys. Say goodbye to your fans, Chrissy and Aaron.
Bye. Bye. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you. Keep listening.
Yeah, we'll see you next time on Question Reality. Bye.
Bye, Priscilla. Thank you for having us.
Woo!
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.